Okay, with that, we move on to talk legal matters. And today we want to take a look at the issue of whether it is legal for employers to force their employees to be vaccinated against COVID-19. We know the president has said on multiple occasions that nobody will be forced to be vaccinated. But the reality is some workplaces are already considering making it a requirement for continued employment. Trade Union Federation COSATU warning last week that while it definitely supports vaccination and encourages vaccination, employers don't have the right to fire an employee who refuses to get vaccinated. We want to find out whether they are correct. And we've asked Tony Healy, labor consultant, to join us today to share his views on the subject. Tony is the owner of Tony Healy and Associates, which is one of this country's leading labor law and labor relations firms. Tony, it's great to have you with us. Thank you so much for making time for us.
Hi, Pippa.
We know there are people choosing not to vaccinate, either due to personal preference or in some cases because of medical reasons, Tony. The Constitution protects the right to personal bodily integrity. We get to make our own decisions about medical interventions. On the other hand, I know that labor law requires employers to ensure that they're providing a safe and risk-free working environment. So it really comes down to juggling those two rights, doesn't it?
Absolutely right. And you've got those competing rights. And this whole debate around workplace vaccination and compulsory vaccination, Pippa, started off with an 11 June 2021 government gazette issued by the Department of Employment and Labour, which, amongst other things, confirmed that employers can, in certain circumstances, impose a mandatory or compulsory workplace COVID-19 vaccination policy, but only in certain circumstances. And those circumstances, after a proper risk assessment of the environment, would be situations, Pippa, where it's impossible to avoid a high risk of transmission or a high risk of infection.
What might that look like, Tony? Can you give us some examples of what we would be deemed that kind of environment?
Yeah, you know, there are all sorts of examples. I mean, if you think, for example, a dental assistant hovers over our faces millimeters away from their miles and ours. Therefore, it's impossible for there to be a social distancing protocol. So in those circumstances, the owner of the practice could say, look, I need to vaccinate, and my dental assistant needs to vaccinate because I cannot avoid an environment in the performance of that duty, of their duties, for there to be infection or transmission. Another example could, and there's a lot of debate around this, are tellers in supermarkets, cashiers, who are handling cash, floats, receipts, credit cards, goods, bags, you know, a multi-touch environment. So any environment after an assessment of that workplace, Pippa, where it is established that it's simply impossible to avoid high risk of infection and transmission, that employer may be entitled to have a compulsory vaccination policy. However, there are a couple of provisos. The first one is anyone who objects, for example, on constitutional grounds must be entitled to consult with shop stewards and health and safety representatives, number one. Number two, the employer must really go out of their way to see if that employee can't be accommodated elsewhere in the business where perhaps there's less risk, less high risk of infection or transmission.
We're talking to labor analyst Tony Healy on the subject of mandatory vaccination in the workplace. Tony, is there any precedent here? I mean, why should compulsory vaccination be considered for COVID-19 when it hasn't been applied to other more virulent diseases? I thought back on my own career. I've never once been asked to produce proof of vaccination against anything when I've applied for a job.
Well, you know what? We have no precedent, Pippa, with regards to COVID, because this is all so new, as is so much related to the pandemic. And we're going to have to wait and see what the test cases are going to tell us regarding COVID vaccination in particular. But we do have a related subject in terms of TB, for example, where, you know, TB, like COVID, is not just an infectious disease, it's a contagious disease. So you can pick it up. It's not like HIV, where you can work next to an HIV-positive person.
Perfectly
and
safely,
not be infected, but you know, working right next to someone with TB or COVID, because it's an airborne contagious virus, you can catch it. So we do have some related case law, funny enough, down here in Cape Town, where there was an issue around TB and an employee being compelled to ensure that they had protection in terms of whatever was required medically to ensure that they were not contagious.
Tony, we talked about the other avenues which need to be explored first, that before employers take the drastic decision of saying to somebody, I'm sorry, if you can't be vaccinated or won't be vaccinated, you can't work in this position. Let's talk about what those other avenues might look for. For example, would it be reasonable for an employer to say, if you won't have the vaccine, I will require you to come to work in a medical grade mask every day, for example?
Look, I think you're going to see sort of graduated varying degrees of protection on this, you know, possibly being introduced. But I think for now, the really topical question is one of, and what is really high profile presently, is the whole question of whether an employer can, at the end of the day, terminate an employee's services for refusing to vaccinate. Mm. And the answer to that question is yes, they can. Now, that doesn't mean that the employer has a right to compel the employee to be vaccinated. What it means is the employer has a right to say, to use a kind of throwaway statement, maybe, you know, no jab, no job. So in as much as an employee is entitled to elect not to be vaccinated, that is absolutely their right and their, you know, to make that election. They must understand at the same time that one of the consequences of refusing to be vaccinated may be, in certain circumstances, that they're entitled to be fairly dismissed.
We're in conversation with Tony Healy, labor lawyer and owner of Tony Healy and Associates. If you've got questions or comments you'd like to pose to him, you are welcome to send a WhatsApp to 072-567-1567 or to send an SMS to 31567. Maybe you'd like to share with us what your workplace has communicated to you, if anything, around the question of vaccination. Tony, as you mentioned, it's been gazetted, the Labour Minister saying in June already that we will place a premium on public health imperatives, the constitutional rights of employees and the efficient operation of the employer's business, and getting the balance right between those three things is the big question here. Where do we find the sweet spot that allows people to preserve their bodily integrity while not others putting others at risk potentially? Any employer who was intending to make it mandatory actually had to go through a registration process, didn't they, last month?
Well, yes, they needed to. First of all, every employer has to undergo a risk assessment of their environment. So the environment of the workplace, what kind of business is it? Are social distancing protocols viable? Are they not? Is ventilation good? Is ventilation bad? Is it a multi-touch environment? Isn't it? And then consult with employees regarding the whole question of vaccination and trade unions and shop stewards and. So that's a process that's very, very important. And you're absolutely right. I mean, the human rights of employees, of citizens in general, are extremely important. But the dilemma we have, and you encapsulated it so well in your introduction, is the question of the public health imperatives, which are so important, and the human rights of individuals, which are so important. Those interests collide. Mm. And they become opposing interests potentially, and it really is a question of which one has to be traded off in what circumstances. So if an employer does elect and justifiably elects to make their workplace a compulsory vaccination workplace, then it won't be a question of the human rights necessarily being infringed. It'll be a question of the Constitution as it does, recognizing that in certain circumstances, all human rights can be limited if there's a justifiable and reasonable reason for doing so. And that would be because public health imperatives have to take precedent.
Tony, a couple of very practical focused questions coming through from listeners, which I'd like to put to you if I may. Joey is asking, if an employer makes vaccination mandatory, are they obliged to give you paid time off to go and get the injection? And what about if you have side effects? Can you have additional leave for that?
Absolutely. The answer is yes and yes to both of those. And that's clear in the Gazette that we're talking about.
Okay. And then another anonymous WhatsApp asking, if our childcare worker doesn't want to get the jab, how do we deal with sick leave if she then does get COVID or is exposed and has to isolate?
Well, I think there'd be a question before that one. The question before that, Pip, I think would be, would I be entitled to terminate that domestic worker circumstances because I can't have the domestic worker in close proximity to my child from a potential high-risk transmission and infection point of view? If I was a parent, that's probably, for me, would be a more important question. I don't want to have my child and my family at risk. It is a closed environment that we work closely together, and therefore we would encourage the domestic worker to reconsider his or her decision not to be vaccinated.
We're in conversation with labour lawyer Tony Healy on the subject of employers and vaccination requests in the workplace. Luke and several others asking the same question, Tony. Why is this even being considered when we're told the vaccination doesn't reduce transmission, but rather reduces the likelihood of the individual developing serious illness or death?
I'm not a medical person.
Yeah,
what I do understand, what I do understand is the dilemma is that a couple of things. I think this whole notion of infectious versus contagious is important, and that's the HIV COVID example. The other is that I'm led to believe, and I speak under correction because I'm not a medical person, but I am led to believe that if one is vaccinated, whilst it does not eliminate the prospect of infection, it does reduce the prospect of infection.
Here's somebody looking at it from the perspective of the other side of the conversation, asking, is an employee allowed to refuse to come to work and still be paid if their employer is an anti-vaxxer?
Well, it would not be so much a question of the employer being an anti-vaxxer. It would be more of a circumstance where the employee who is vaccinated says, I refuse to come to work because the workplace is unsafe. Now, it might be unsafe because the employers are anti-vaxxers. But to ask that question, any employee who's vaccinated, who believes that their workplace is unsafe from a transmission and infection point of view, is absolutely entitled to refuse to go to work. And that employee would not be guilty of misconduct in those circumstances.
What is the process?
Remember, every employee has a right to be employed in a workplace that is safe and is healthy.
Tony, if you feel that your workplace is not safe and healthy, what is actually the process one should follow to deal with that problem?
Well, there are two things. I think the first thing would be to bring it to the attention of the employer. And second, absolutely, contact your nearest Department of Labor. And most certainly, you can imagine, in this day and age, they take that kind of complaint very seriously.
Okay. Tony, another question around sort of process. An employer anonymously asking me what the process would be to follow if you do have a situation where you have an employee in a high-risk situation where there is absolutely no way of avoiding the high-risk situation and they absolutely refuse to be vaccinated. What processes and procedures do you follow? Would it be a retrenchment as you would do in other circumstances if they were unable to work in that role?
So there's a couple of things in that situation, Pippa. The first one is that employer should allow that employee to consult a health and safety representative or any trade union that has a presence in their workplace if they do. Number one, the employer must see if there isn't another position in the organization where perhaps there's a less of a risk of infection. If you use the supermarket example and a till operator, it's impossible pretty much to avoid high risk for a cashier, but there may be another administrative position elsewhere in the supermarket chain where that individual could be accommodated in a clerical position or another position where there's much less risk. However, if none of that is possible, then the employee is not retrenched. The employee's services are terminated on grounds of what we call incapacity. They don't have the capacity to continue to be employed because they're refusing to be vaccinated, and that would need to follow what we call an incapacity procedure. So it would be akin to having a driver who loses their eyesight.
Right.
They're not dismissed for misconduct, but the services are terminated because they don't have the capacity to work there, except in this case, the employee doesn't have the capacity to work or continue to be employed because they refuse to take the vaccine when it's required.
Okay. Very interesting question from somebody on the nature of people's objection to vaccination. Different people have different views. So some people, it's a medical imperative that they can't be vaccinated. For others, whatever their reason may be. Some of them we know are objecting because of wild conspiracy theories about things that aren't true. Some of them are asking sane and rational questions around side effects and making choices around possible risk here. But some of them are really off the wall, Tony, and are objecting for reasons that are just don't hold water. The person's question on the WhatsApp line is, in that kind of context, is somebody allowed to claim constitutional rights for something that is not supported by rational logic?
Look, at the end of the day, just about everything is arguable, but not everything has got the equal prospects of succeeding as a defense. And you're absolutely right. I mean, we see all around us claims of what would appear at face value to be valid concerns around the vaccination process and other more strange reasons for opposing. But at the end of the day, everything will hinge around whether whatever the objection is, and it's more especially if it does have a constitutional base, and then that would then need to be measured against the broader public health imperatives of other employees or visitors to that particular workplace. But you know, some reasons for refusing vaccination are better than others.
Okay. Very important question from Temba asking, please, can you explain whether bodily integrity is not a non-derogable right enshrined in the Bill of Rights? I hope I'm pronouncing that correctly. If I'm not mistaken, Tony, that means it is a right that cannot be limited. Is that correct?
Well, no right can be. No right is beyond Section 36 of the Constitution, which is the limitation clause. So that particular clause says that whilst, of course, human rights are incredibly important in our constitutional democracy, no right is absolute, and there will be circumstances where each and every right has the prospect of being limited, as long as it can be shown that limitation is justifiable, reasonable, and rational.
Last question, a very practical one from Anonymous. As an employer, what are the regulations regarding self-isolation of an employee with no medical certificate? Should it be unpaid leave, or does it have to be paid?
Any leave of that nature that's uncertified is unpaid.
Okay.
Circumstances, if it's in excess of a week, where that employee could claim UIF benefits.
Tony, we have to leave it there, but thank you very much. You've been extremely helpful this afternoon. Great to have you on the show.
Lovely. Thank you.
Thanks so much. Keep well. Tony Healy, the owner of Tony Healy and Associates, one of the country's leading labor law firms. And thank you very much for the questions that you directed his way on the WhatsApp line.